Clap your hands, Rock Church. Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. Good to see you. God bless you. Welcome. My name is Travis. I'm one of the pastors on the leadership team here and want to say hello to everybody, all of our campuses joining us, everybody in San Marcos, and shout out to Pastor Mario leading that team out there. City Heights, Pastor Ryan leading the team in El Cajon. We love you, campus, and we love Pastor Zeb leading you. Pastor Nehemiah leading our Chula Vista campus. We call him Nemo. Everybody say, hey, Nemo. Hey, Nemo. Found you, brother, found you. That's a dad joke, I'm sorry. I got my kids here. Pastor Mark in Oahu, we love you. Pastor Nate leading our online community. Pastor Ty leading right here in Point Loma. If you're new, welcome. Why don't you clap your hands? Welcome all of our new guests, first timers. First time in a long time. Welcome back, good to see you. We got a great day in store for you, but first, that video you just saw from Pastor Miles, he loves you. He's studying, he's getting ready for a new series we're kicking off in August on spiritual warfare. How many need that series? I need to hear that message. I need to hear all of those messages, so make sure you're here for that. But also his heart for this next generation. We got summer camp coming up next week, Future SD. Don't miss it. Send your kids, send your students. Also, Just One San Diego on Wednesday the 26th. It's a free event for students 6th to 12th grade. Hopefully you've heard about it. If you haven't heard about it, it's your first time here. We want you to know about it. Get there. It's a free event. Come and enjoy a great time with us. Got some guests coming out. Great word from Pastor Miles. Today, though, we're continuing in week 6 of our series entitled, We Need to Talk. And we've hit subjects that we've surveyed the church. We asked you, hey, what are some issues from God's word that you want to hear about? What are you struggling with? And we put out a survey a couple months ago, and you gave us, hey, I want to hear about relationships and dating and marriage. What's God's will and purpose for my life? You told us you need to hear messages on forgiveness. But one of the top answers, it's 3 years running in a row, is the topic of anxiety and depression. Anxiety and depression is real and it's here. And we've been sharing messages, and I've been sharing messages for the past several years on this topic. And I'm gonna give two weeks, this week and next week, don't miss it. I'm gonna give you some of the secret sauce to fight in the battle against anxiety and depression next week. So come back and bring somebody, because we all have somebody that's battling with anxiety or dealing with depression. But let me say this about anxiety and depression. It is very real. And I have a high respect for it without giving it more credit than it deserves. Can I get a good amen? But I have a respect for it because I've been there. I've experienced anxiety. I've lived with depression. I understand this topic a little bit, and maybe so do you, and maybe some of you understand it more than others, maybe at one of our campuses. And trying to tackle this subject isn't a one-size-fits-all. You can't just say, hey, it worked for me. Just do this. It'll work for you. For some of you, today's going to be like a breakthrough. And for others, it's a process. And so we want to give you some resources and some other messages. Today I'm gonna bring a fresh message I haven't preached next week as well. If you text the letters WNTT, stands for We Need to Talk, to 52525, there's a whole resource page of other messages from last year. There's one on a stress test. Find out what area that really stresses you out. There's one, 5 decisions that step you out of the pit. There's a conversation with my counselor and kind of talking like, hey, I'm a Christian. Should I be struggling with this? And what do we think about medication? Text WNTT to 52525. You can get those resources for free. And I know that'll equip you and help you. But I did come today to encourage all of us that God knows your pain. God sees what you're going through. And if you came in today struggling, you're in the right place. And no matter what you're going through, God is still greater than whatever it is that's bringing you anxiety and depression. God is still greater. No matter what. 1 Peter 5, 7 through 9 says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the whole world is undergoing the same kind of suffering. And so sometimes we walk in the room and we think, I'm the only one. I'm the only one that's dealing with this stuff. And you're not the only one. If you came in the room today struggling, you came in the right place. You're not weird. You're not crazy. And you can trust God because he cares for you. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for this topic that we're unpacking today. Thank you for your word that reminds us that you care for us, that we can take all of our anxiety and depression and just throw it at your feet. Because there's a devil out there walking around our house, our cars, our children, trying to eat us up. But Lord, we resist the devil in your name. And we believe that you care for us. As we unpack this topic, Holy Spirit, fill us up, make us more like Jesus. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. Amen. So I got 22 minutes left. Last week was Father's Day. Dads, hope you had a great Father's Day. We gave away some free Nike Dunks at all of our campuses. Hopefully you got your shoes. If you don't know what those are shoes. They're a pair of Nikes. And we gave them away on Father's Day at all of our locations. If you didn't get them, they're on their way. And so my daughter last Sunday goes, "Dad, did you get the shoes?" And I said, "Sweetie, I don't think the church would like me very much if we gave away free shoes and I won the shoes. I don't think they'd like that." Like, "Hey, check out my new shoes." But she said, "Hey, I think you should still get some." I said, "Well, you're not lying. Let's go get them then." And so she picked these ones out. I wanted to wear them today. And I think they're pretty nice. She did a great job. Come on. So I ordered them online and they came 3 days later and I was excited. And they rang the Ring doorbell and I come to the door and the delivery driver is there and he's dropping them at the door. And how many have seen him take the picture? They got to take the picture to prove that they dropped them off, right? And so I'm opening the door as he's taking the picture and I say, "Hey man, appreciate you. Thanks for bringing these my new shoes. You know, I'm kind of just saying hello." And I tend to be a pretty positive guy. And he didn't acknowledge me. That's okay. And he kind of just turned and walked away. And I thought, well, maybe he didn't hear me. Nice guy. Just got my shoes. And I said, "Hey man, I appreciate you." And I thought, you know, let me go get him something to drink. That's gonna get, because he didn't look up. He went to the car, and so usually my wife and I would try to, you know, the guy comes, the mailman comes, or whoever comes to the door, let me get something, a water or a Gatorade, and "Hey man, do you want something to drink?" And he just walked to his truck, got in with his head down the whole time, never, ever, ever looking up to me. And I thought to myself, I wonder what he's going through. I wonder what's weighing him down. And then the Lord gave me the message. He said, "That's it. That's the message, because every one of us is trying to look up, but we're living in a world that holds us down. I want to look up at God. I want to believe the best. I want to live an inspirational, great life, but I live in a world that would rather look down. And the world right now, if you don't know it, is set up to keep you down. It's set up to keep you looking down, and less people are actually looking up." I came across this article on something called TextNeck. You can put that picture up. TextNeck, this is about a year old or 2 years old. And it's this idea that a lot of us are walking around looking down. And what is the average weight of your head is like 10 to 12 pounds. Some of you got big old domes, you're like a 15-pound head. And you know who you are. I got like a 16-pound dome right here. The average head is 10 to 12 pounds. And when you're looking up or looking forward, it weighs what it weighs the way your body is supposed to carry it. But the moment that you look down 15 degrees, that 10-pound head now weighs 27 pounds. And then when I look 30 degrees down, that 10-pound head now weighs 40 pounds. And 45 degrees looking down, it now weighs almost 50 pounds. And if I look down even more, that 10-pound head is now a 60-pound dome. It's not just text neck, it's phone dome, it's anything you are. I made that one up just right now. So everything you're consuming. A Pew Research Center study found that approximately 46% of teen social media users felt overwhelmed by the cyberbullying and drama on social media apps. 43% felt pressure to only post content that makes them look good to others. 37% of these teens felt pressured to only post content that can get a lot of likes and comments from their friends. And 26%, that's one in every four, felt worse about their own life due to what they saw on social media. And this is not, I'm ragging on our young people. No, this is also an adult problem too. Adult or no better. A lot of people are addicted to doom scrolling. You know, doom scrolling is I just keep scrolling and scrolling, looking for the latest and greatest catastrophe. Who cheated? Who broke up? Who got a DWI? I'm just scrolling. I'm just looking for drama. I'm looking for The war that's breaking out. I'm watching the political tension in election season. And if we're not careful, all of that is weighty and all of that can keep you down. Or maybe just trying to, on my calculator, on my phone, trying to budget for gas and trying to budget for childcare and groceries and housing, all the basic needs, all of that has weight. It can keep you down. And the same goes for my heart. The more that I look down, the more weight I feel on me. The more that I feel down, the more pressure my soul and my heart feels. The more they say things about me and it beats me down, the less clear and clear I can see forward and up towards God's future for my life. And I may have a real issue, but the more I'm down, this 10-pound anxiety is now a full, blown-out, 60-pound depression. Because I'm down. I'd love to look up, but I'm down. So how then do we look up? I want you to turn with me to Psalm 42 if you have your Bible with you, if you have your scriptures with you, maybe in your phone. If not, if you're a first-time guest, we're going to put the verses up on the screen for you so you can follow along. And the book of Psalms is in the Old Testament. It's kind of the middle of your Bible. And Psalm chapter 42 is what I'm going to be reading. And the psalmist is really illustrating everything we're talking about today with this topic. He's writing about a struggle, writing as someone who has experienced life's good times, but now they're downcast in a pit of sadness. I was doing good, but now I'm under the weight of the world, and all I feel is down, and I'm just trying to find my way up again. This is how it reads in Psalm 42, beginning in verse 1. It says, "As the deer longs for streams of water, so I long for you, O God. I thirst for God, the living God. When can I go and stand before him day and night?" When day and night, "I have only tears for food, while my enemies continually taunt me, saying, 'Where is this God of yours?'" This is somebody's story. Look up here. This is somebody's story. One of our campuses. This is your story. 24 hours a day, day and night, you're just crying. You're weeping because of the things they've said about you. I love what Pastor Ty said here in Point Loma at our host moment. They've told you, you're too much and you're not enough. And you're just crying and you're just weeping. Maybe you lost your job. Maybe there was a terrible breakup. Maybe you just got the cancer diagnosis. Maybe you just lost a loved one. And you're so depressed and there's so much anxiousness. You haven't eaten all week. You got a pit in your stomach. And the only thing you're eating are the tears running down your face to your mouth. I'm just so done. I'm so deep in this anxiousness and this depression. And it picks up in verse 4. "My heart is breaking as I remember how it used to be. I used to walk among the crowds of worshipers." Remember that? I used to come in on Sunday. I used to have my hands raised, and I was one of you. I used to come in. I was excited. I remember those days leading a great procession to the house of God, singing for joy and giving thanks amid the sound of the great celebration. "Why then am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior and my God. Now I am deeply discouraged," just going in and out, "but I will remember you. Even from the distant Mount Hermon, the source of the Jordan, from the land of Mount Mizar, I hear the tumult," that's the rage of the raging seas as your waves and surging tides sweep over me. "But each day the Lord pours his unfailing love upon me. And through each night I sing his songs, praying to God who gives me life. Oh God, my rock, I cry, why have you forgotten me? Why must I wander around in grief, oppressed by my enemies? Their taunts break my bones. They scoff, 'Where is this God of yours?' Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior and my God." Amen. It's discouraging, at the same time, inspirational. But I think you get a real clear picture of the psalmist struggling. And in verse 6, he says, "I'm deeply discouraged, but..." I love that word because it gets us to where I was, turning to where I want to be. And in verse 7, "The waves are crashing over me, but... My enemies taunt me, but I will remember you. I will sing his songs. I will put my hope in God." That's what the text says. And sometimes it's just the best thing you can do is just let the text say what the text says. And just take exactly what God is giving us from Psalm 42. And so when I'm trying to look up, but all I see is down because I'm crushed by the weight, Chula Vista, of anxiety and depression, Three things I want you to take away from Psalm 42. Number one, I remember the bigger story. Number one, I remember the bigger story. I'll say it this way. The moment I'm living in isn't the only moment I'm living for. The moment I'm living in right now isn't the only moment that I'm gonna be living for. In Psalm 42, verse 6, now I'm deeply discouraged, but I will remember you, God. I'll remember you, even from distant Mount Hermon. In Psalm 77, verse 10, then I thought, to this I will appeal, the years when the Most High stretched out his right hand, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will consider all your works, and I'm gonna meditate. I'm gonna think about them. I'm gonna think about all your mighty deeds. So even when I feel far from God, I remember all he's done for me, and it reminds me that he's still in control, and what God did for me in the past, he can do for me again and again and again. Even when the weight is on me, even when I feel distant from God, I'm still gonna remember his faithful, his miracles of old, his ways of past. I'm gonna go back there and go, Lord, the moment I'm living in, because I can think about the past, isn't the only moment I'm living for. My son who's six, he loves these kind of old school movies, old school games, and recently he found Indiana Jones, and he wanted this Indiana Jones board game, and so we got the board game, and on the picture is the image of Raiders of the Lost Ark. That was the first movie. Okay, anybody, Raiders of the Lost Ark, you seen that one? And on the picture of this game is the giant boulder. Anybody remember that scene? If you kind of seen Indiana Jones, it's the opening scene. The boulder gets all the attention. It's in all the pictures. They even made a ride about it at Universal Studios. And the boulder is in the opening scene of the very first movie. It's about 30 seconds long. And this giant boulder looks like it's gonna crush Indiana Jones. But then it's over, and that was just the first part of the very first movie. Oh, by the way, there's four more movies. But the boulder gets all the attention. What's the point? Well, whenever I'm being crushed, I have to step out of the moment and remember that what I'm experiencing today is just a paragraph in the full story that Jesus is still writing for me. I step out of the moment and go, okay, wait, I'm not just living for this, but Jesus is still writing something. And I'm gonna get through the loss, but it's not how, it's who. I remember Jesus. I remember that he is the author, and what's it say? The perfecter of my faith. He's still writing a story. And so what I'm struggling to look up, I remember there's a bigger story at play. Here's the second thing. When I'm being crushed and I want to look up to God, but I'm just down because of the weight of anxiety and depression, I find a song of praise. I'm going to remember God, the bigger story. And then number two, I'm gonna find a song of praise. When I don't feel like praising, I have to fight to find my praise. Don't raise your hand, but how many of you walked into your campus today, you didn't feel like coming today, but you fought to get to this place of praise. You didn't feel like singing the third song, but you fought to lift your hand. Psalm 42 verse 8 says, but each day the Lord pours his unfailing love upon me. And through each night I sing his songs, praying to God who gives me life. I think it's really interesting that it's easier for the psalmist to feel God's love in the day, but it's at night that he has to sing to give him life. Because it's at night when I'm worried. It's in those night moments, those evening times when all you wanna do is just stay in bed and don't talk to anybody. And I'm just gonna eat my tears. I'm just gonna eat my emotions. I'm just down. I'm not calling anybody out today. I'm just saying that's what it's like. I gotta fight for my praise. I heard, we were in the back praying with the team, and Pastor Ty said, he reminded our team that you can't worry and worship at the same time. And so even if I'm worried at night, I fight to find my song of praise. Anybody have any music type that when it comes on, it just changes your mood? Or like a song? Like that song comes on and everything changes. Maybe like a workout track. You got that workout jam. You're about to get on the treadmill and I can't do my Imam, my every minute on the minute workout unless that song comes on, or I'm about to get my max set unless this thing comes on. I can't do my set. And you see that guy and he's sitting on the bench and he's been there for 25 minutes on his phone scrolling for that song. And I haven't found it yet, but I'm gonna get it. Bro, what are you doing? I'm trying to find my song. I'm about to hit this, I'm about to kill it. But bro, you've been killing the bench for 25 minutes. Find a song. It's like, just pick anything. It's like 60 pounds, bro. About to kill it. Or you go out dancing. She hasn't danced all night. She's just been chilling over there. All the girls are having a good time. Then that song comes on and she just loses it. Oh! She hasn't been dancing all night, but that song comes on. Oh my God, oh! Somebody get her, please. Somebody take her. We don't know who this is. Music is powerful. Music attaches itself to emotions. I think that's why the devil attacks the music. Because it's so powerful. Sometimes music even transcends the words that we're saying. It's so powerful. But praise and worship to God isn't just powerful. Come on, it's supernatural. It's not just powerful. It's supernatural. I love Psalm 118, verse 14. It says, "The Lord is my strength and he's my song. He has given me a victory." And see, don't miss this. There's a relationship between singing praise and growing strength. There's a relationship between my song of praise to God and my increasing growing strength so I can look up at him. And I'm not talking about that bicep strength. I'm talking about I didn't want to get to church today and sing a type of I'm now looking up strength. It's that I didn't want to sing. So I just listened to them sing. I didn't want to sing this week because of what I went through, but I played something on my phone or I put something on YouTube and I just listened to the song play over and over. I didn't want to sing, but I'm fighting. I got to find my sound up. I'm just so deep in it right now. And so I'm going to listen to something. I'm going to find and fight for my song of praise, and my listening to the song is now turning into me singing the song. And now I'm not just listening to the song of praise, I'm now singing the song of praise. I don't like it, it doesn't sound good, but I'm singing it. Now I'm singing the song, I'm singing it long enough, it's become a praise now. It's pretty good, it's starting to move. I didn't want to sing, I listened to a song, I started singing the song even though I didn't like the way it was coming out, and now I'm praising through the song, and now my praise isn't just a song, now my praise is becoming worship, and now my worship has brought me to my knees, and now anxiety and depression is starting to lift off my shoulders because I found a song of praise even at night in my hardest moments. So when I'm struggling to look up and all I see is down because I'm being crushed by the weight of my anxiety and my depression, I don't always feel praise, so I have to fight for my praise because it brings strength and victory. And you can only, look up here, you can only borrow someone else's praise for so long. You can only borrow somebody else's worship for so long. You come into a room and you haven't been here in weeks and it feels great to be here, feels great to be online and you can listen in and you're not worshiping, but you see them and it kind of changes and you feel their worship to God. You can only do that for so long till you gotta get your own praise and you gotta lift your own voice. And you got to find your own shout. You got to lift your own hands. So now I'm not listening to others. I'm singing. My singing is now praise. My praise is now worship. And the worship is breaking off the chains of anxiety and depression. Come on, now's a good time to give God praise at all the campuses. And just lift a shout. Because there's a relationship there. The Lord is my strength and he's my song. Here's the third thing we get from Psalm 42. When all I can do is look down, I want to look up. I will remember the bigger story that Jesus is still in control. He's still writing it. Number two, I'm going to find my song of praise. And number three, I choose to hope again. Why is that important? Because a lot of people have stopped hoping. I'm going to choose to hope again. A lot of people have stopped hoping. You've just conceded to the battle of anxiety and depression. It's no longer something that you struggle with. It has become your identity. There she is again. Dang, just always coming in. It's a dark cloud. Sorry, guys, this is who I am. It's become your identity. And so we gotta choose to hope again. In Psalm 42, verse 11, the psalmist says, "Why am I discouraged? And why is my heart so, so sad? I will," here's the decision, "put my hope in God." Well, why is my heart so down? Why is my spirit so discouraged? But no, I will hope in God. It's a decision that we all have to make. Hebrews 6:18 in the NLT says, so God has given both his promise and his oath. These two things are unchangeable because it is impossible for God to lie. Watch this. Therefore, we who have fled to him for refuge. Yeah, anybody today coming to church for refuge? I came to get under the wings of God. I came to get under the grace of my Savior Jesus. So therefore, we who have fled to him for refuge can have great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us. This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. It leads us through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary. And I love this comparison that putting our hope in God is like a strong, trustworthy anchor. Because an anchor has one job, one purpose. The anchor is to attach itself to the vessel. So then when you drop it, it ensures that I don't drift. The vessel doesn't drift. The ship doesn't drift because of the crashing waves or the wind or the tides or the storm. That's the job of the anchor. It's not complicated. All of us have anchored our hope to something, but not all of us have anchored our hope to a strong and trustworthy God. And I'm speaking from experience. I've tried it, and so have you. You've anchored yourself to money, but the moment that the money runs out, I sink. I shipwreck. I wish I had a strong anchor that would have kept me from swaying off from God's plan for my life, but I haven't put my hope in the right thing. I put my hope in the relationship. Man, I got the girl, yes. But then she cheated or you cheated. They messed up. They lied. You fell out of whatever. Something happened. Somebody got sick and it just messed up the relationship. They're not who they were. You didn't fight for it. And now there's a big old breakup and now you're just sinking down. And I wish I could look up again, but I've just lost all my hope. Why hope again? That was it. That was it. I put everything I had into that relationship. Your relationship and your money and sex and power and influence and followers. Look up here. None of that was designed to be anchored to. The only thing that we're supposed to anchor to is Jesus. He is the only one that is worthy of being called a strong, confident, unshakable, unmovable anchor. I will put my hope in him. I remember in my early 20s, I was committed to building an identity for myself. Got the girl, but then we broke up. Just down. I was trying to get my business degree at San Diego State, 21 years old, but then I dropped out. Dang, I don't got what it takes. Got into real estate, didn't like the person that I was becoming. Started buying things, got a nice car, got different clothes, started buying things that I thought were important to me to build this type of identity. I lost it all. I couldn't afford it. Credit collectors blowing me up, brother. 21 years old, not knowing anything, just down. But by the grace of God, I detached from the world. And I anchored myself back to the only one that can give me hope. That's Jesus Christ. And the place of peace and the people of peace, the people of God and the people of Jesus. And so that's the invitation today, is to say, I'm gonna detach from all the things that are weighing me down because I wanna look up today. I wanna lift my gaze to heaven. I wanna come out of this anxiety and depression and anchor my life to Jesus. I'm gonna pray for us right now, but I want you to hang around. Our team has written a new song. It's called Still Water. It's based out of Psalm 23. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For your rod and your staff, they comfort me. It goes on to say that God leads us to this place of still waters. So that even when the storm rages and everything is crashing and breaking me, if I'm anchored to the one who can hold my hope, I'm gonna hope in him again. He can take me to a place that no matter what's going on in my life, it feels like there is a still water all around my life. And so we're gonna worship together. at all of our campuses, and then I'm going to come back up and lead us in a prayer to invite anybody that wants to give their life to Jesus to do that right now. So Lord Jesus, we just right now come before you to worship you, to acknowledge that you're good and faithful, and through the darkest days and the hardest storms, if we anchor ourselves to you, we put our hope in you, the author and perfecter of our faith, God, we can be unshakable. Even in the wildest storms and the strongest winds and the greatest persecution, we give our life to you. We lift our gaze right now. Bring us to a place that feels like I'm in still water with you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Stand to our feet and declare this. Sing it out.
He is my shepherd. I shall not want. It satisfies my soul. Yes, it does. There's healing in the water.
Restore, refines, refine. He leads me to still water, water. Great is your faithfulness. You are my confidence.
Would you all of our campuses close your eyes, bow your heads, and pray with me? Jesus, we thank you that you are still waters for all of us in a world that feels like unrest and tension and the hurry of the day. And so we ask you just to rush over your peace on us right now. And there's somebody here today that needs to give their life to you for the first time or recommit themselves or just find new strength in you because they're just begging to look up at you. But Lord, the weight of the world has them crushed and looking down. And so if that's you today, you need to pray a prayer to draw near to Jesus, to hope again, to look up again. I want you to pray this prayer in the quiet of your heart. Just say, dear God, I admit that I'm not doing well. I'm in need of a Savior. I know I've sinned, but I believe that you love me. And I believe that you have the power to heal me and the power to forgive me. I confess you as my Savior today. I confess you as Lord over all things. Holy Spirit, Spirit of God, fill my life. Give me a new future, new direction, and new purpose. As everybody's eyes are closed, your heads are bowed, in just a moment, all of our campuses here in the room in Point Loma, I'm going to count to three. In the count to three, if you made that decision today, just shoot your hand up and let us know. I want to pray for you. One, two, three. Put your hands up in the air if you prayed that prayer. Awesome. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. We see you. God bless you. We see you. God bless you. We see you in the back. We see you up top. Awesome. See you up there, brother. God bless you. Lord Jesus, thank you for every single hand, every single soul, every single life that's saying, Jesus, we need you to be the anchor of our lives. I don't want to walk around with the weight of the world. I want to walk around with the the freedom that we have in you, Jesus. There's victory in you today. And so I speak peace and grace and joy and life on every single person. We give you our anxiety. We give you our depression. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said a good amen, amen, and amen. Come on, clap your hands, church.